Please stand. Our service for this evening begins on page 260. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil.
Jesus said, if any man would come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for this evening comes from Exodus chapter 19. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day when they came into the wilderness of Sinai, they set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading for this evening comes from Romans chapter 14. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our third and final reading for this evening comes from John chapter 18. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's quarters, and it was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters, so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with the Lenten responsory on page 263. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Please stand as we confess together the basics of our faith. The Ten Commandments.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
The Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon series for this Lent has been Return, which we first heard in the book of Joel with the words, Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. We've reflected on our own sinfulness, and more importantly, we've heard how God loves us and continues to pursue us in spite of that sin. He invites us to turn from running after our sin and seeking that, and instead turning back to him. Today, the invitation for us is to return to the kingdom of God. Now, when we hear that phrase, that word kingdom, we have a tendency to imagine a king inside of a castle with all of these different servants and farmers and things who live around that castle whom he then lords over. And so it makes us wonder, well, what is Christ's kingdom? Well, of course, he is here in this place, right? That Jesus rules the kingdom that is the walls of the church. And that's true. The church is where God does some of his most visible and obvious work. However, to define God's kingdom merely as what the church does is a very narrow view of Jesus' reign. We also have this tendency to talk about God's kingdom as if it is up in heaven. Because certainly God rules heaven. He is the Lord of heaven. And so we always think that, oh, well, we will enter God's kingdom one day when God takes us to his nearer presence. And again, that's not wrong. God's kingdom certainly is in heaven. Those that we love who have departed in the faith, those dear saints, they are certainly living in God's kingdom. But don't forget what Jesus did. Don't forget what Lent is all about. We're journeying to the cross. Jesus certainly did plenty of miracles, and he suffered, and he died, and all of those things happened here on earth. And we can't say that any of that happened apart from God's kingdom. And so God's kingdom can't simply be the church, and God's kingdom simply can't be what happens up in heaven either. Jesus teaches us where his kingdom can be found in our reading for this evening. See, the chief priests, they turned Jesus over to the Roman governor, Pilate. And they didn't hide what they wanted for Jesus. They didn't hide what they wanted Pilate to do to him. Kill him. Put him to death. Crucify him, right? And yet, the unbeliever Pilate recognized Jesus' innocence. Those were the very last words that we heard Pilate say. I find no guilt in him. Nothing worthy of death. And as the reading continues, as scripture goes on, we find that Pilate tries to take one more step and have Jesus beaten and flogged in order to somehow appease the crowd, but that doesn't work either. He does everything he can to try to acquit Jesus. And the first thing he does, we just heard about a few moments ago, and that's a private questioning. Pilate needs to get to the bottom of the situation to discern what is going on. Is Jesus leading a rebellion? Is he actually trying to be a king instead of Caesar? Because if that's the case, he certainly does deserve death. Or is there something more going on? So Pilate asks point blank, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." A few moments later, Jesus confesses that he is indeed a king. But the kind of king that Jesus is talking about doesn't fit into Pilate's definition. Pontius Pilate just doesn't understand that Jesus is the king of truth. His last question for Jesus betrays that fact, because Pilate says, "What is truth?" It would give Jesus the perfect opportunity to preach concerning himself and what indeed he was doing for Pontius Pilate even at that very moment. But he doesn't get the opportunity. Why? Because Pilate asks the question, but he doesn't actually care about the answer. He turns his back on Christ and he goes back out to the unbelievers who are trying to put him to death. Sadly, Pilate doesn't see what is right in front of him. If he knew that Jesus was in fact the truth, he would have stayed in the presence of Christ. He would have worshipped him as the king that he truly is, but he doesn't. He fails to realize where the kingdom of God is. He fails to realize where Jesus reigns. Now, this is the point where we all pick up our fingers to point at Pontius Pilate and say, "How dare you condemn an innocent man?" Or pick up our stones and treat him how he deserves to be treated. But think for a moment about how we do exactly the same. We'll certainly come to church. And we come to this place with questions that need answers. Because, truth be told, we do have trouble in our lives. Trouble constantly comes to us over and over and over again. Even in the best year of our lives, nothing is perfect in this life. There are cancer diagnoses from people that we care about, or maybe even ourselves. There are various illnesses that we may or may not overcome. There are broken relationships and financial hardship and depression and even death. There's plenty in our own life that when it happens to us, it seems insurmountable. Because there is sin upon sin upon sin that leads us to anxiety and confusion and doubt. So we have a private questioning with God. We maybe ask him in our own private quarters, in our own bedrooms, and we say, "Well, what is right and wrong? What am I supposed to do here, God? What is truth?" Sometimes even Christians get blinded to the truth. Sometimes even the best of us try to get to the bottom of our most recent trouble, but we don't do it in the place where we find Jesus. We don't do it by using God's word. Instead, we like to be like Pilate. But yet in other ways, we're also nothing like Pilate. Even in those times when we don't get it, so to speak, even when we can't see the end of our problems and everything seems so insurmountable, even when we start looking in the world for the solution to our problems rather than to God's word, if we don't depart from where Jesus has promised to be, then we do know the truth. If our troubles eventually lead us to that place of God's word, then we are living in faith. Now, it would be much better if the word of God was the first place we looked. But the truth is that God's Holy Spirit has a way of guiding us to the truth. Jesus said, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Remember how John's gospel started, right? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the Word of truth. And that Word speaks into our lives of chaos, and it gives us comfort. It speaks into what sin has broken, and it brings healing and life from illness and death. Yes, Jesus came as a king, the king of words, the Word of God made flesh that suffers and bleeds and dies, and his word from the cross is that you are forgiven. In the midst of our sin-broken world, Jesus calls you to return to the kingdom of God. He calls you to seek first the Word of God in your life over and over again. Because the Word of God reigns where the proclamation of Jesus' death and resurrection is. He reigns through water that is connected with God's Word that we see right here in the church for every baptism. He reigns through bread and wine that we combine with what? But God's Word to strengthen our faith, to remind us that Jesus is indeed with us through every hardship, to make sure that we can continue to carry on through it. In fact, Jesus reigns not only just in baptism in the Lord's Supper, he reigns as you leave the walls of the church. When you lead a godly life, when you take what you have heard about God's word, what you have heard, what has come into your ears and rested in your heart in this place, or even in your daily devotions, when you open the scriptures and when you actually take it into the workplace, or you take it into your friendships, or you take it to your family, and you just live according to it. And I'm not even talking about witnessing. You don't even have to open your mouth and utter a word about Jesus Christ, but simply to live in righteousness. And in that moment, Jesus reigns in you. And the kingdom of God follows you. We pray it in the Lord's Prayer. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. My friends, return to the kingdom of God, where Jesus reigns by the power of the Holy Spirit, where he reigns with his word, because Jesus came to reign over you, not just the walls of the church, not just the kingdom of heaven, but in every day of your life, in every moment where his word is taught, preached, spoken, heard, believed, and lived. There is the kingdom of God, and there is Jesus with you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we continue with our next hymn, hymn 422. Our service continues on page 265. Please stand for prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, you released many from their bondage to sin, death, and the devil, as the healer of the nations. But when it came to release you, the crowd chose a murderer instead. Through our co-crucifixion with you in the waters of our baptism, may we continually be released from our sins as we confess you to be our everlasting King. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with Luther's evening prayer.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night, for into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
At this time, I will direct you to page 572 of your hymnal as we sing together. Thank you for coming out tonight. I pray the service has been a blessing for you.